Hello and welcome. This is Turning Towards Life with Lizzie and Justin. And here we are again for another episode with a delicious sauce from Justin's choosing called The Swan by Mary Oliver. And each week we bring something new, something that mostly we haven't spoken about before together. Sometimes we forget what we've done and bring a double one, but mostly we bring a new one. And one of the things, Justin, that I've learned happens is that people go to turningtowards.life and they share episodes with people when they want to talk about something. They have it as a kind of preamble, or they put it on the car with their teenage person, or they find it between them and others too as a way of sparking a conversation. And goodness knows what other ways Turning Towards Life is used in the world, but we've heard of a few. And it's a wonder, really, that this has become what it's become to people and to us. And I want to just welcome anybody new here, anybody who wants to start listening to the archives, please feel free. And anyone who's been here for a good while, we're so glad you're still here. And maybe you're returning, and how wonderful that you're returning again. And Justin, just for us, the philosophy of we would do it even if nobody else was here is really quite something for me. So I'm glad to be here, amazed at the newness of all of the sources each time, and happy to be here with you today.
I'm really happy to be here with you, Lizzie. And I was thinking, as you were beginning to explain what this is, which is, I think, keeps being worth re-explaining, the thought came to me that this is also got born out of us wanting to share something about the way that we think about this field of endeavor that you and I are very committed to, which we call coaching, specifically integral development coaching. And I was thinking about how there are some forms of this practice in the world called coaching, which essentially are one person who calls themselves a coach asking many questions of another person. And notice that that's not how we conduct this particular conversation. Of course, there is room for questions. But there's something about there's something that we've got dedicated to, Lizzie, which is also about people being able to bring things to one another. You know, that I can bring this source by Mary Oliver, and who knows what that will open in you. And as you speak, you're changing me, and then I speak and that changes you. And that's one of the very deep ways that we think about what coaching can be, is an invitation for openings in one another. And that means bringing things. It means what we have to say. It means bringing what we see. It means bringing what we feel. It means bringing words and images. And there's something here I want to preface before we read The Swan. This is from a marvelous book of poetry by Mary Oliver called The Swan. So it's like the title track, I suppose, of the book. There's a way of thinking about what coaching might be that is, if I'm a coach to you, Lizzie, I'm just simply helping you get what you want, which is a very sometimes useful but too narrow way of thinking about it. Another way of thinking about it is my role here is to keep on opening, helping you open doorways into your life so that life can come flooding through and life can meet you, and then who knows where that will go. And it seems to me you and I have been talking quite a lot about what it is to have been in this conversation for so many years, and there are people, hello, all of you alongside us, some of whom have just landed here and some of whom have been following this conversation for years and years and years. And I know we're all changed by it. That's the point. So I wanted to say something about the spirit of this whole project, this whole long conversation, being something to do with a way of attending to one another's lives that allows ourselves to be changed by the presence of another. And we never really know where that goes. It's not like heading towards a goal, although sometimes heading towards goals is very important. It's more like being a rosebud blooming or something, or a swan. So I thought it's worth saying that sometimes. And for any of you who are listening or watching and you're interested in this kind of way of being with other people, you can come and learn it with us. And we are thirdspace.org is the place to go and look. And there's many opportunities in this coming year, 2026, to come and learn how to do this, which is very exciting to me. And now here's this source. So this is The Swan by Mary Oliver. And you can find it always in the show notes on the turningtowards.life website, where you can sign up to get it in your email inbox. It's in all those places. The Swan. Did you too see it drifting all night on the Black River? Did you see it in the morning, rising into the silvery air, an armful of white blossoms, a perfect commotion of silk and linen as it leaned into the bondage of its wings, a snowbank, a bank of lilies biting the air with its black beak? Did you hear it fluting and whistling a shrill, dark music like the rain pelting the trees, like a waterfall knifing down the black ledges? And did you see it finally just under the clouds, a white cross streaming across the sky, its feet like black leaves, its wings like the stretching light of the river? And did you feel it in your heart, how it pertained to everything? And have you too finally figured out what beauty is for? And have you changed your life?
The Swan. Did you too see it drifting all night on the Black River? Did you see it in the morning rising into the silvery air? An armful of white blossoms, a perfect commotion of silk and linen, as it leaned into the bondage of its wings, a snowbank, a bank of lilies, biting the air with its black beak. Did you hear it fluting and whistling, a shrill dark music, like the rain pelting the trees, like a waterfall knifing down the black ledges? And did you see it finally just under the clouds, a white cross streaming across the sky, its feet like black leaves, its wings like the stretching light of the river? And did you feel it in your heart, how it pertained to everything? And have you too finally figured out what beauty is for? And have you changed your life?
You know, it feels so good to have you read that and to receive it. And I think this poem jumped out at me for many reasons, Lizzie. Whilst I was thinking about a source for this week, most of which is bundled up in its last three lines. But actually, I want to say something about the beginning. All of this, the swan drifting at night on the Black River and rising into the silvery air, the bondage of its wings, a bank of lilies. This extraordinary image of the swan flying just under the clouds, a white cross streaming across the sky, its feet like black leaves. I'm so glad for Mary Oliver's way with language. And what it awakens in me, well, you know that I swim every day at the pond on Hampstead Heath, and there are often swans there, and they're often in the water, and sometimes they swim right with us, and they sort of come across the path, and I'm a bit wary when I'm too near the swans and I'm in the water. And I'm very aware, as you read and as I read some of those words back, that even with swans in the pond, it's possible for me to sort of, maybe not even sort of, tune out, like dissociate from the realness and extraordinariness of this life that I'm in the middle of. I can be in the water, it's deep and cold, and the sky is giant sky above us and the swans are swimming. And I know that I can sort of zone out like I'm not there. It's really easy for me to do. And on days when I do that, I'll complete my circle of the pond and I'll get out and I'll think, did I just swim? I'm not really sure. I think I did. I mean, obviously, I'm here. And Mary Oliver here wakes me up to my life. That she can see all of this in the experience of seeing a swan at night and then it flying off in the morning, which you could say in like three words, I saw a swan that flew away. And she's able to point to something that is so evocative and so alive and so beautiful and so arresting and so exciting and so life-giving to me is both an incredibly important and quite sobering reminder of how easy it is for me, I don't want to speak for anyone else, to sleepwalk through my life. And I might, if I sleepwalk through my life, get to the end of it and wonder where I was and who had been and what I'd been up to, just like when I get out of the pond and I wonder if I was even in it on those days. And it is quite something to realize that we can use words with ourselves and with one another that have the opposite effect, that words can reach in and pull us out of our sleepiness and wake us up. And I feel incredibly alive and present and grateful and sort of fierce being with you here, supported by Mary Oliver's words. Thank goodness for language, but also it seems to me that we have a kind of, there's a calling to do this for ourselves and one another. The world and we need ourselves to wake up to the world. It's incredibly important. It's not optional. It really matters.
Well, where this has taken me, Justin, is the combination or the kind of interplay between changing my life, beauty, and feeling in my heart. And when I first read it as well, I thought, oh, hold on a second, I haven't made the connection so explicitly about, and in language, about beauty and the heart, my heart. And somehow this extraordinary invitation from Mary Oliver here, where she has the capacity to put language to the heartfelt view of a swan. Like it feels to me like, of course, when she's watching this swan and she's describing it and using her extraordinary ways with words, that her heart must be open for that to happen, for her to feel the beauty of that swan. She must have an open heart. She must be awake. She must be really looking and really receiving the moment that she's in, so that language could be put to it. And I have that thing, Justin, as well, where I was reading a bedtime story last night, and I know I'd read it before, but until a certain point in the story, I thought, I don't think I've read this before. And I had, but I'd obviously been thinking about something else while I'd been reading it. And there was a point in the story where the little girl makes a little funny linguistical mistake that made us laugh. And then I remembered I had read it. But until that point, I was like, oh God, what is the story? I haven't read it. And so I know I can sleepwalk and be kind of out to lunch somewhere or doing something else in my mind or whatever. And it feels like this is a call to us really finding a way to receive our lives while we're in it, which seems to me like an endless, beautiful, benevolent endeavor, really, given how easy it is for us all to fall asleep and to be elsewhere, planning something or thinking of something else while we're doing the thing we're doing. But also an invitation to feel like the beauty all around us, and also that can be sought out consciously. is a way to our hearts and to feel and to receive life and to walk through the park as if it's there because I need it to be there and it should be there and I need to get from A to B and all of those things is really different than walk through the park with all of that being true. But to be awake to all of the blades of grass and how the trees are in relationship with each other and how the sky impacts the color green of the grass and the trees, depending on how blue it is and how many clouds there are. And you know, all the things that I can imagine me walking through a park and having available to me and which I could absolutely miss if I wasn't open and had a system, a bodily system that was open-hearted and really looking to receive the world instead of take all of it for granted. And then this whole question of, so have you two finally figured out what beauty is for? And have you changed your life? It's like, oh my goodness. Yes, of course I can see what beauty is for now you've asked me. And how would I change my life? What would I do? Who would I be? Where would I take myself? How would I be with people? If I had finally figured out what beauty is for, and how would I be in relationship with it in service of the longings that I have?
I was thinking whilst you were talking about walking through the woods, Lizzie, so walking through the park, that there is a sort of, seems to me quite often, shallow, what's the word I want to search for? I'll just say shallow version of living life well, which is that you ought to feel grateful for everything. You know, I think having that sometimes you have a practice where you might write down three things I feel grateful for today, and it's possible to do something like that very shallowly. Oh, I'm grateful I know Lizzie, and I'm grateful for this conversation, and I'm grateful that I've got a chair to sit on. And that's the shallow version of it, is sort of just listing things because they're there. And then there's what you're talking about and what Mary Oliver is talking about, which is letting the world actually reach us and feeling it's really feeling what it is like to be here in all of its fullness. And that's going to have a very different quality to, oh, I'm grateful that I've got a chair to sit on, and I'm grateful that I know Lizzie. There's something fierce about this, right? The world is offering itself to us all the time. Will we pay attention? And when you talk about receiving, I'm really with you that it's our attention that allows us to receive, and that receiving the world is the receiving our lives, receiving one another is what we're here to do. And it requires something very active from us. It doesn't just happen. In fact, if we're not active about it, we're quite likely to fall into the kind of sleepiness that we've been talking about. I always feel like Mary Oliver is saying to us, pay attention, look. And don't just look at the surface of things. Look at how things get evoked inside you, that a swan isn't just a swan in the river. It's drifting all night on the Black River. It's a snowbank, a bank of lilies. It's a white cross streaming across the sky with its feet like black leaves. We'll all have our own way of feeling this and saying this, but it takes our active attention. And I wonder if that's part of what we're being invited to at the end of this poem, and have you changed your life? It's something so far from superficial here. It's, are we prepared to live in a way that keeps opening us to one another and to this world around us, and to not fall into cliche, but to really actually feel it and receive it? And life is so different from there. And I think it's particularly important right now, Lizzie, you and I have been talking about, or I suppose I've said a few times on here, that this particular podcast, this conversation, doesn't find its way into the world because of their algorithm. if people find us, it finds us because they've paid attention, they've decided to come our way. Thank you, everybody who does that. We're living in a world where technology, for all of its good, and it has many kinds of good, is actually able to serve us just being completely asleep to our lives. I can wake up in the morning and pick up my phone, and somebody, because it actually is always somebody, whose algorithm is presenting me with what to look at today. And that is an incredibly different orientation. If that's all I do, that's an incredibly different orientation from what you said about going across the park and being alive to the park, being taken by surprise by this very tangible living world in which we live in the midst of. And Mary Oliver was writing this before all of this, really. This is some years ago. And I think she's saying something that's very, very important for us to hear. Have you changed your life? Have you finally figured out what beauty is for? Did you feel it in your heart, how this swan pertained to everything? She's asking something of us that I think is really worth us asking of ourselves, which is to take in hand this unbelievably brief and precious existence, and to recognize that our attention is everything. What are we going to do with it?
Now, you're talking this way, Justin, has me think of this word that I know that we use a lot, and I didn't know what it meant for a long time before. You know, I heard it a lot, and then I didn't realize what it meant until I got it, which is this word affordance. And just as I'm sitting here and paying attention differently, just to my desk even, and this word affordance keeps coming up. And the way I understand this word is that what is afforded to me by this something being here? Like, what is this asking of me? And so I'm thinking, you know, this microphone is an affordance for me speaking. This desk is not an affordance for me writing, because there's a keyboard and a laptop and bits of cupboards everywhere that my children have left, and a stapler and a dog bingo game. You know, it's not an affordance for creativity. It's not asking me to create. And to feel the kind of, I guess, the awakeness of asking what is this asking of me? What is this swan asking of me? You know, what is the nature? What is beauty for? It's like, what is the affordance of beauty? What is it asking of me? What is it bringing out of me? What does it want from me? And to move through the world wondering that, both about kind of physical objects like a chair or whatever, but about life itself. Like, what does this space want from me? What is it asking for me to be, to do? And then there's this human. What am I in affordance for? Like, what do I feel like to you that you want to be this and not that? Or that you can say this or you can't say that? And to find this kind of consciousness that Mary is asking us into, about what everything is for. Why beauty? I mean, like, this could have been created in any way, and there's beauty in it. And sometimes when I look at a flower and I'm thinking, how on earth did that get made? Like, what is that? And that it is an affordance. It's an invitation to me. There's something about having flowers sitting on a surface that creates an atmosphere. It creates a way of relating to life by there being a flower present. And so I'm finding myself really curious about kind of a heartfelt way of moving through the world, and both being conscious of the affordance that I am to the world. Like, what am I asking for just by my nature, by being? What do I allow to come forth in the world? But also, what is everything else bringing forth in me? Like, what is it to stand at the river and feel the flow and the high tide and the swishing trees and the crackling of the wheels of the bikes going across the path that runs along the riverside. That's really different that I'm just using this path to go to the shops. And it feels to me like we have to be reflective, like in the moment, reflective to be able to live this way, even like once every week or something, just to feel what it is to be here. And as you say, to receive life in this way where we're really letting it in.
And as you say, Lizzie, it may be just once in a while that we remember to orient this way. But what I hear in what you're saying is such a strong invitation to us. And it's a very, I had so many thoughts about this. So when you talked about the affordance, what is being offered to us or asked of us by everything and everyone that's around us. And here I am sitting at my desk. And as you started to say this, I'm asking that question of myself. What is this chair asking of me? What is this desk asking of me? What is this day asking of me? And I think it's a really different way to orient to life than the way that we are often encouraged. I think we're more encouraged to ask the question the other way around, what do I want? And I'm not discounting the role of desire and wishing and wanting and everything. Sometimes it's very important. But I notice that when I live my life purely from the what do I want frame, how often life seems to fall short. Because I want whatever it is over there, whatever my idea is of what I want to feel this way, or I want this or that thing. Or when I relate to that way, the world is forever unfulfilled. And when I get what I want, often I find out it wasn't really what I wanted. It masked something else that I wanted. So I think our culture tells us that the primary thing is to want and to get what you want. You just asked us something incredibly different. You turned it round. What's being asked of me here? But not just in some grand sense, like what's my, you know, my moral vision, you know, I'm meant to be saintly or, you know, change the world, or any of those things can be very useful and productive things. You're asking something much more immediate, which is, what am I being asked for by this moment? What am I being asked of by the path I'm walking and the woods that are around me? What am I being asked of by the person who's sitting in front of me, and who could I be for that person? And it feels to me like if we can at least now and again shift our viewpoint to respond to what is being asked of us by right where we are, we might have so much more of an opportunity, first of all, to bring ourselves to right where we are, to not tune out, to not miss the park on the way from the, you know, home to the shops, to not miss the other people and the swans and the, you know, all this aliveness that's around. We might also have more of an opportunity to bring ourselves more generously and also to feel filled by the life that we're right in the midst of. When we see ourselves as being questioned by life rather than always having an unanswered question for life. And so then here's Mary Oliver Swans. She notices that this swan is bringing itself to her. I mean, that's really what she's saying to us, I think, is the swan is bringing itself to you and to me, and it asks something of us. It asks us to live. So to know ourselves as being responses to a question just feels to me like such a, actually very welcome in my heart and body right now, but such an alternative to our constant feeling of lack and emptiness that we're trying to fill all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where it took me, Justin, when you talked about the difference between living in the frame of what do I want versus what is the world or the things around me, the people around me calling for from me. And how when I'm in an I place, you said, you know, so much it falls short of, you know, what I want just doesn't, I mean, it might materialize sometimes when you go and get yourself the drink that you want or something. But so many times in life, it doesn't turn out the way that we want or desire it to. Certainly it doesn't in my life anyway. And what an amazing move to kind of take responsibility for my life, which would be to ask what life is asking of me rather than what I want. Because if I keep on the what I want path without knowing that that's what I'm doing and seeing that there's a different way, all I'm doing is dancing the dance of disappointment and expectations being thwarted. And I'm playing my part in that by being the I. And when I move into, well, okay, so what's being asked now of me? It's like I can just not be let down by life, because that's not the dance, that's not the partner dance that I'm dancing, but that I can be responsible for my experience and feel more powerful actually in the world, and to not be kind of dangling on the coattails of circumstance, but actually creating the life that I want, which might be filled with love, or it might be filled with joy or something. And that I get to take those small everyday steps towards that rather than thinking the world's going to do it for me or something.
I'm left, Lizzie, with this new question in response to what you said, which is something like, how can I, in addition to what you brought us about what's being asked of me here by the affordances around me, but also how can I keep opening myself so that love can find me and beauty can find me and generosity can find me? Can we allow ourselves to be met by life's question in that way? Now I feel very tender and opened and jangled about in a very good way by this conversation, like I'm going to head out from my desk here outside, which I'm going to do in a few minutes, and pay attention to the world and let myself be asked something by the world in a new way. So thank you very, very much to you and to Mary Oliver and to all of you who are with us for this conversation. And this is our last one for the calendar year of 2025. And we will, all being well, we will be back for another week to begin 2026 next week. And we'll see you then.
Thanks, everyone.